This is Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 3, Texts 4 and 5. Ritvija Uchuhu Arhasi Muhur Arhattamarhanam Asmakam Anupatanam Namo Nama Ityevat Sat Upashikshitam Korhati Puman Prakriti Guna Vyatikara Matir Anisha Ishwarasya Parasya Prakriti Purushayor Arvakta Nabhir Nama Rupa Kriti Bhi Rupa Nirupanam Sakala Jananikaya Vrijana Nirasana Shivatama Prabhara Guna Ganaika Desha Katanad Vrite Ritvaja Uchuhu. The priests said, Arhasi, please accept. Muhu, again and again. Arhattama, O most exalted, worshipable person. Arhanam, offering of worship. Asmakam, of us. Anupattanam, who are your servants. Namaha, respectful obeisances. Namaha, respectful obeisances. Iti, thus. Etabat, so far. Sat, by exalted personalities. Upashikshitam, instructed. Kaha, what? Arhati, is able to make. Puman, man. Prakriti, of material nature. Guna, of the modes. Vyatikara, in the transformations. Matihi, whose mind is absorbed. Anishaha, who is most incapable. Ishwarasya, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Parasya, beyond. Prakriti Purushayoho, the jurisdiction of the three modes of material nature. Arvaktanabhi, which do not reach up to, or which are of this material world. Nama rupa akriti bhi, by names, forms, and qualities. Rupa, of your nature, or position. Nirupanam, ascertainment. Perception. Sakala, all. Jananikaya, of mankind. Vrijana, sinful actions. Nirasana, which wipe out. Shivatama, most auspicious. Pravara, excellent. Gunagana, of the transcendental qualities. Ekadesha, one part. Katanat, by speaking. Rite, accept. The priest began to offer prayers to the Lord, saying, O most worshipable one, we are simply your servants. Although you are full in yourself, please, out of your causeless mercy, accept a little service from us, your eternal servants. We are not actually aware of your transcendental form, but we can simply offer our respectful obeisances again and again, as instructed by the Vedic literatures and authorized acharyas. Materialistic living entities are very much attracted to the modes of material nature, and therefore they are never perfect. but you are above the jurisdiction of all material conceptions. Your name, form, and qualities are all transcendental and beyond the conception of experimental knowledge. Indeed, who can conceive of you? In the material world, we can perceive only material names and qualities. We have no other power than to offer our respectful obeisances and prayers unto you, the transcendental person. The chanting of your auspicious transcendental qualities will wipe out the sins of all mankind. That is the most auspicious activity for us, and we can thus partially understand your supernatural position. There's a purport also. This is funny today, isn't it? It's like either doing nothing or doing too much. Yeah, I know. If you put it close to you, then it does everything. And if you're an inch from it, then you're nothing. It's not a Western microphone. It comes from down, not west. So there's a purport also, but Srila Prabhupada has given a rich translation, so we'll go through it. The priests are offering their prayers in the sacrifice of Maharaj Nabi, and they begin by saying that we're all your servants. Arhasi arhattama arhan. You're the most deserving person. You are worthy of worship. So please accept our service. Prabhupada says, you're full in yourself. So please accept a little service by your causeless mercy. You don't need service. It's not that we're doing you a favor. But if you accept our service, it's your mercy, your causeless mercy, because you're full in yourself. Purna. So they're begging that we're your servants, please accept a little service from us. A little service. We're not doing big service here. But whatever, please kindly accept it. Then they say that we're not actually aware of your transcendental form. I think he's already appeared, hasn't he? Lord Vishnu, and they're speaking to him directly. Yeah, he's appeared before them. But they still say that we're not really aware of your transcendental form, but we can simply offer respectful obeisances again and again, as instructed by the Vedic literature and authorized acharyas. This is the position of the conditioned soul. He doesn't really know what's what. He doesn't fully understand his own position. He hardly understands the position of the Lord. With his blunt mind and senses, he can hardly understand Krishna's transcendental form. But the conditioned soul can follow the instructions of the Shastra and the Acharyas and understand that our business is to offer our respects to the Lord again and again. This is the actual position. This is Vaidhi Bhakti, regulative service. We may not be on the higher platform of spiritual understanding or spiritual love of Krishna, because that requires purity of heart. And we may not be on that platform of purity of heart, freedom from all unwanted things within the heart. then how are we going to actually understand the transcendental form of Krishna? Because Krishna is realized by those who are pure. He's realized by those who are pure. We're not pure, so how are we going to understand him? Therefore, even before understanding, or without having direct perception of the Lord, or a clear understanding, at least we can follow the instructions of the acharyas and the shastras and be properly situated so that we'll make progress in Krishna consciousness or in understanding the Lord and serving the Lord. This is the beginning. Vaidhi. Vaidhi means you must do it. According to the rules and regulations, this is what you should do. There was one incident in early in the movement in the 1960s. One devotee, Garga Muni, asked Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, even if we don't feel anything, should we still bow down to you? Prabhupada said, yes. Forthright question. We don't feel anything. So is it that if we, you know, should we act according to our heart? If we feel something, we should offer respects, obeisances. If we don't feel anything, better to be honest about it. You know, I'd offer you my respects, but I don't feel anything. No. As instructed by the shastras and the acharyas, we should offer our respect to the spiritual master, to the Lord, to the devotees of the Lord, again and again. And by following, we'll become eligible to understand. Some understanding we have, a little bit, but in order to have full understanding or advanced understanding, we have to act according to our position under the instruction of superior authorities. Faking it doesn't work. Pretending that we're seeing Krishna at every moment, that we're in transcendental ecstasy, that's not going to work. Bluffing doesn't work. But sincerely following the instructions of the shastras and the acharyas will bring us to the right point. So the priests say, we don't really understand your transcendental form. They say, we're not even aware of your transcendental form. But we know that we should offer our respectful obeisances again and again. We know that we're your servants. And so we're just begging for your causeless mercy so that we can do a little service for you. That's their position. Materialistic living entities are very much attracted to the modes of material nature, and therefore they are never perfect. The word here is Prakriti guna vyatikaramati. What we have in mind are the transformations of the qualities of the modes of material nature. That's the show. Maya's putting on a show for us consisting of transformations of the modes of material nature. And we're such fools that we think, good show. Good show. It's Maya. It's illusion. But materialistic living entities are very much attracted to this show put on by the transformation of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Or the transformation of material elements in different attractive forms. This is called Maya. And being attracted by Maya, we're never perfect, but you're above the jurisdiction of all material conceptions. The Lord is transcendental, in fact, and transcendental to our conceptions. Your name, form, and qualities are transcendental and beyond the conception of experimental knowledge. We try to understand things materially by direct perception, by experiment, by investigation, by some sort of material means. We look into things, try and see. But Atah Shri Krishna Nama Adina Bhavet Grahyam Indriya. The Lord is not going to be understood. His name, His form, His qualities, they're not provable, testable. Science, according to scientists themselves, science means the investigation of that which we can test. It has to be testable. Otherwise, it's not science. It has to be amenable to empiric observation. Otherwise, what can you say about it? Therefore, metaphysics, according to science, has nothing to do with science. You know, if you're introducing something metaphysical, that's not scientific. Because by definition, it's beyond observation, material testing, material observation, material experimental knowledge. And we can accept that conclusion of the scientists, that Krishna is beyond the power of their science to know. Of course, their mental speculations about the origin of the universe are also unscientific, because they're really metaphysical assumptions. In the beginning, there must have been this. Are you tested? Got any observations there? Any experimental data? You're just speculating. It must have been. It had to be. It could have been. We think that. You're doing faith here. Of course, it's faith that there must have been something other than God. That's their mentality. But in any case, it's all metaphysical. It's beyond the power of their science to ascertain. So we accept it from looking at it that way, that they can do scientific experiments and observations and, you know, fill in their data sheets for 100,000 years, and they'll never understand the holy name of Krishna, or the form of Krishna, or the qualities, or the pastimes of Krishna. It's all beyond those little rinky-dink exercises. Sevan mukahi jivado svayameva spratyadaha. He can only be understood by devotional service, and then he'll appear before the devotee, but not by any mundane scientific process. And therefore he's beyond the conception of experimental knowledge. In the material world, we can perceive only material names and qualities. Exactly. That's what's within the jurisdiction of our research. And that also imperfectly. We don't always get it right, or even half right. We have some idea, we have some conception, sometimes right, sometimes wrong. But the absolute truth is beyond even the power of mind to know by material means. So we have no other power. Anisha, I think that's the word. Anisha Ishurasya Parasya. Anisha means helpless. helpless. We have no power. We have no power than to offer our respectful obeisances and prayers unto you, the transcendental person. You are Ishvara. You're the supreme controller. And we have virtually no control. You're all powerful, and we have hardly any power. But this much power we have, that we can offer you our respectful obeisances and prayers and depend on you. God realization finally depends on God. It's not that by our own power, you know, we build ourselves up and build ourselves up and build ourselves up until we finally become capable of seeing God. Finally, it depends upon God's mercy. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrita. He can cover himself by his yogamaya energy, or he can reveal himself. So finally, everything depends on his causeless mercy. Then they say, the chanting of your auspicious transcendental qualities will wipe out all the sins of all mankind. This is the essence of our process, to chant and describe the transcendental qualities of the Lord, and in that way become freed. Nirasana, Vrijana Nirasana, Sakala Jana Nikaya, Vrijana Nirasana, Shivatama, you are most auspicious. You're the chanting of your qualities, which will eradicate all the sinful actions. Shakala Jananikaya, of all human society. That's the most auspicious activity for us, and we can thus partially understand your supernatural position. Something. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has nothing to do with material perception. Even the impersonalist Shankaracharya says, Narayana Parovyaktat. Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is beyond material conception. We cannot concoct the form and attributes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We must simply accept the description given in Vedic literatures about the Lord's form and activities. As stated in Brahma Sangita, Chintamani prakara sadama sukalpa briksha lakshavrite shushurabhi avipalayantam lakshmi sahasrashatasam brahma sevyamanam govindamadi purusham Tamahang Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor, who is tending the cows, yielding all desires, in abodes built with spiritual gems, and surrounded by millions of purpose trees. He is always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. We can have some conception of the Absolute Truth, His form, and His attributes simply by reading the descriptions given in Vedic literatures and authoritative statements given by exalted personalities like Brahma, Narada, Sukadeva Goswami, and others. Srila Rupa Goswami says, Ata Sri Krishna Namadi na bhaved grahyam indriye. We cannot conceive the name, form, and qualities of Sri Krishna through our material senses. Because of this, other names for the Lord are Adhokshaja and Aprakrita, which indicate that he is beyond any material senses. Out of his causeless mercy upon his devotees, the Lord appeared before Maharaj Nabhi. Similarly, when we are engaged in the Lord's devotional service, the Lord reveals himself to us. Sevan Mukehi Jivado Swayameva Spratyavaha. This is the only way to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktya Mam Abhijanati Yavan Yaschasmi Tattvataha. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead through devotional service. There's no other way. We have to hear from the authorities and from the Shastras and consider the Supreme Lord in terms of their statements. We cannot imagine or concoct forms and attributes of the Lord. Therefore, it's descending knowledge. It's received through the parampara system. It's received from the Shastras. It's received. It's not figured out. We'll never figure out the actual nature of the Absolute Truth. Maybe by figuring, all we'll figure out is a negative conception. He's not this, he's not this, he's not this, he's not that. And finally we arrive at something impersonal or void. But that's not a true conception or an adequate conception. It's not the highest conception of the Supreme. It's only a conception relative to our experience. We say form is material, so he must have no form. Qualities are material, he must have no qualities. So by speculative methods, we arrive at a conception of the Absolute Truth which is really negative. It's a whole batch of attributes with X's drawn through it, through them. He's not this, he's not this, he's not this, he's not this. But it's not positive information, or it's not positive understanding of the Personality of Godhead. There's a deficit of positive understanding. It's just a negation of material understanding. Well, that's progressive. The Absolute Truth is not material. But we'll never understand the spiritual, the distinct spiritual qualities of the Absolute Truth by speculative methods. We simply have to hear. Something you don't know anything about, you have to understand by hearing. Something you've never seen, something you've never heard, we have to understand by hearing. So hearing and serving. The books are so important. Human society is in ignorance of the Personality of Godhead. But Srimad Bhagavatam especially gives positive transcendental knowledge of the Lord, of our relationship with the Lord, of the process for reviving that relationship, of the perfection of that relationship. Everything is disclosed in Srimad Bhagavatam. And simply reading it is service. Simply reading it is service. So if by the mercy of the Lord, he appears in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. By the mercy of the Lord, he appears in the form of the holy name. And we only have to take advantage of them. We're not very much inclined to take advantage of them, and therefore we need encouragement or actual push. And therefore the devotees, the acharyas, and their followers have the work of pushing Krishna consciousness. Pushing Krishna consciousness. The conditioned souls don't know what's good for them. They're attracted to something which is the source of their suffering, and they're thinking that it's enjoyment. This is called illusion. So the likelihood that they'll stumble upon the truth is minuscule. But therefore the devotees of the Lord push the Absolute Truth. not... Yes, they push it. Not in this, in the arrogant sense of we know everything, we're going to lay it on you, here's the truth, and you have to... But factually, although the devotees themselves may not fully understand the absolute truth, they understand enough to know that this is the great need of human society. At least human beings should investigate the absolute truth. Human life is meant for that, from a jigyasa. And then if they want to investigate, what process is going to work? Speculation is not going to get you very far. Direct perception is going to get you even less far along than that. Well, there needs to be a transcendental process to understand the transcendental reality. And the devotees, having been introduced to that transcendental process, introduce that process to others. So this is, and then there's direct experience. Simply exercising our blunt material senses gets us no access to any experience of transcendental reality. But engaging our senses in the service of the Lord by chanting, by hearing, by serving, will gradually make us eligible for purification and for some experience of Krishna. It's not simply theoretical. It's practical. It's practical. But that practical experience comes by the right process, not by the wrong process. Mental speculation and direct sense perception are the wrong methods. Wrong in the sense that they're inadequate or backwards. But devotional service will actually give the living being not full experience in the beginning, but some experience, then more experience, till he becomes fully absorbed in devotional service. And when Krishna desires, he'll have full experience. He'll be transferred to the realm of eternal experience of Krishna's mercy. Now we're in the realm where we're denying Krishna's mercy, or we're demanding, why is God not merciful? Why is God cruel? Why is God, why does God allow all the stuff that goes on here? And at the same time, we're insisting on staying here and trying to continue all the things that are responsible for that suffering. But if we take the transcendental process, then by the mercy of Krishna, we can be transferred to the realm of permanent transcendental experience in the service of the Lord. Okay, are there some questions? Yes.
Right.
Sir.
Lord Krishna, that you explained very nicely how to perceive the Supreme Personality of God, the process of Shastakaman, as opposed to, you know, to the Hanuman and Protector. I was wondering if in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, there's a verse that he says that I am far away, I'm very close, I'm in everybody's heart, I know everybody, but me nobody knows. But then on the other hand, he also says, Kashima Vikitataka, you know, the verse Manusha Shashi, he says that only amongst millions of people, you know, you're the only one who know me. Is it possible to know him, or is it not possible? Because it appears to be.
Yeah, Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhakta. Simply by Vedic study, it's not possible. Or Durlabham. Durlabham means effectively so difficult we'll never get it. And what to speak of non-Vedic study, you know, just reading a lot of speculative books by ordinary materialists, we'll not get it. What is that? Name Daya Bahuna Shutena. What is that? Anyway. Prahlad Maharaj says, Matirna Krishne Parato Svato Va Mito Vipadyeta Grihavardhana. Those who've made it their business to try to control this material world and enjoy this material world will never understand Krishna, because they'll never even be attracted to Krishna. Matirna Krishne Parato Svato Va. Neither by their own power or by help from others or by holding conferences, they'll never get it. As long as we've determined that we're somehow or other going to be in charge and we're going to control, we're going to enjoy, we'll never. He'll be unknowable. Muto yam navi janati. But for one who takes to devotional service, vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhakto, he'll reveal himself. Just like, can you see the queen? No, you can't see the queen. Who are you? But if the queen desires to see you, what's the problem? You don't have the power to see the queen. But the queen has the power to say, I want to see that fellow. Then, by the mercy of the queen, you can see the queen. And it's that way. No one can see Krishna. Mam tu veda na kashchana. But he reveals himself. Tato mam tat pato gyadva vishate taranantaram. He invites you. Come on. By devotional service. Maktya mama bijana. Can you ever know him in full? Yeah, in full as far as you can know him. In full means as fully as you can handle. Otherwise, to know everything about Krishna, even Krishna doesn't know. But in full, just in full means to your capacity, like a glass, you can fill it. So you can be filled with Krishna consciousness, knowledge of Krishna, perception of Krishna. That doesn't mean you'll know everything. But as far as your tiny size allows, you'll have full knowledge. Yes.
Sometimes people say that in the science of this world, when you conduct an experiment, you get a result within a finite amount of time, within time scale of the experiment. For with Krishna consciousness, there's not exactly a time scale. Can you say
Science gives you some result within a time scale, but in Krishna consciousness there's no time scale. That's the complaint. Well, there was just an article that they're going to the moon by 2018. Science. Now, do you really think they're going to go to the moon in 2018? Or is it going to be 2020 or maybe 2030? Those of us who are like the 1960s gang, they remember, we remember. We were supposed to have been there a long time ago. Now it's 2018. Far enough ahead so that if they move the schedule back, by that time we'll have forgotten that it was supposed to have been 2018, according to what they said in 2005. And still it's supposed to be science. There's no guarantee in science that you'll understand everything within a set amount of time. Your experiment may be completed within a certain amount of time, but there's no guarantee that you'll have the result in a certain amount of time. Ever go to a doctor with some problem that, they couldn't quite figure out? Medical science, right? and they do a test, and they do another test, and they say, gee, that came out negative. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. We have to do another test. That test didn't show anything, but there's still another test we can try. We've run all the tests, and we can't figure it out. But there's a new technique, and maybe could be. That's accepted as science. You pay money for it. So what is this? You know, in science, you get a result within a time, a definite time. Bunk. If you stick to the process of Krishna consciousness. Krishna says, what is that? Nachirat Partha, Maya Vesha Tachay. What is that verse? Yeah, what's the beginning? Tesham Aham Samudharta, Mrityu Samsara Sagara. Bhavami Nachirat Partha, Maya Vesha Tachay. You just become absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and it won't be long. Nachirat, not a long time. Why? Because by my mercy I'll pick you up. It's not a mechanical process. Look at it from that point of view. You know, all right, you have your experiment, you expect this result within a set amount of time, because it's a mechanical process. But not everything in this material world is mechanical. Now, the scientist meets a girl, and how long will it take before they fall in love? You know, start your watches, man. How long is it going to take? You know, but there's some process. He falls in love. He marries some girl. There was some process at work. But you can't, it's not one of those things where you can set your watch by it. You're teaching your students how long before they get it. You're a scientist. How long will it be before your students understand what you're saying? And how should we measure it? In hours, days, weeks? It's not that everything is simply within the realm of measurement. Another meaning of Maya is the measuring function. Not that everything is measurable. And specifically, Krishna is beyond your power to measure. Where you can, and actually, most of reality is beyond our power to measure. We can measure some material things, that's all. And even material things. You know, how you measure the mind. You've got these little scales. You know, Minnesota multiphasic, da 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 da. You can measure something about somebody's mind, but very imperfectly. Something else? What do we mean when we say Krishna consciousness is science? Good question. And a lot of different answers have been given. You know, what does it mean that Krishna consciousness is a science? One meaning, perhaps, is that science has so much prestige, we say, all right, this is science too. Just, you know, all right, you're into science, this is science. But what is science? It's supposed to be a method of knowing. You know, if you analyze the word science and go back to its Latin roots and so on, you find that it's a process of knowing. So we say this is a superior process of knowing. You have what you call science, which is your method of knowing, which is that you put something on a slide and you stain it and you look through a microscope and you record some numbers. And that's your science, and then you reach some conclusion. And we have a different science. By your science, you'll know about certain things that are within the jurisdiction of material nature, and that you'll know also imperfectly. And by our science, we'll understand something about the origin of all your material things. You'll understand something about matter, we'll understand something about matter and spirit. Even matter, so much information is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. But beyond matter, spirit is there, which you don't know about. So science is a process of knowing. We have a superior process of knowing. There are also procedures. There are also authorities. There are also results. But it's not your science. Our science is not your science. Christian people
do not die.
Christian people die, yes.
Yeah, but you know, Muslim people, they also have to die.
Muslim people also have to die.
They must die. And Jewish people, they also have to die.
Jewish people die also.
So I'd like to ask you, is this a science that everybody must die?
Is this science?
That everybody must die?
Yeah, this is science. In fact, science is very good at helping them die. The Christians and the Muslims and the Jews, they're all very expert in scientific enterprises for killing one another. If you want to see science, read the newspapers and see what they're doing in Iraq. Now, there's science for you, big time. How you can kill 100,000 people scientifically. That's their science. You know, we judge the process by the result. Here's your result. That your scientists, you know, if you really want to do science, you need money. You know, our science, you need like a tree to sit under and maybe some beads. Their science, you need nuclear reactors and big laboratories and big budgets. And who's going to pay for your science? I'll tell you who's going to pay. The military is going to pay. So if you really want to be a scientist, prostitute yourself to the military. Because that's where the bucks are. And science means bucks. And governments are spending half their bucks on defense, so they have big budgets for science. So if you want to do science, become a whore for the military, sell yourself out, and create these nice scientific results. Wipe out 100,000 people or so, scientifically. Prabhavanti Yuga Karmana Akshayaya Jagatavita. That's science for you. They have the dream that science will be beneficial. And we can say so many benefits we have from science, but then what do we have on the other side? We didn't need the scientists to tell us that everyone must die. That we have from Bhagavad Gita, Jatasvihi Dhruvo Mrityor. Adhruvam Janma Mrityasya Cha. This is science. For everyone who's born, death is certain. And for everyone who dies, birth is certain. That's a fact. And by your science, you've become very expert in causing different kinds of death. Death is certain anyway, but you're directing your energies toward bringing about the death of others. Is it very nice? And this science is directed toward actually the welfare of others, how to make them free from birth and death. That's the experimental process. That's old history. There's a recent one, Merck, because I have a disciple who works for Merck, a big pharmaceutical company. There's something that was very effective for one problem. I forget what it was. Arthritis, right. But it causes heart attacks. And now they're in court, you know, millions of dollars worth of lawsuits. So this is the experimental method. You don't really know what the outcome is going to be. You try something, you get some result, you find out later that there are other results that you didn't know about, and the final result is that you die and come back because you wasted your life without any spiritual realization. That's the final result. But that result you have to get from our science. I mean, you'll get the result anyway, but to know about that result, it requires a different science. And that's a more important science. People really don't get what they're doing. I was on a plane a month or so ago, wound up sitting next to this fellow who was very interested in religion, really interested in religion. And talking to him more, he's read a lot about a lot of different religions, but he kind of considers himself a Buddhist. Finally, he's into Buddhism. And what's his occupation? He's a computer programmer, a kind of scientist. He's a computer programmer. And what's he doing? He's working for a company. What's the company doing? They're working for the military. What's the military doing? What's he doing for the military? He's helping them build better tanks. You're a Buddhist, nonviolence and all of that, and your occupation is building tanks to kill people. And his story is that he likes to think that he's making the tanks safer for our men. I'm sure the people on the other side of the gun barrel don't look at it that way. And probably aren't grateful to you for your contribution to the matter. Prabhavanti yuga karmana akshayaya jagatavita. unbeneficial. Ahita means something which is just the opposite of beneficial, harmful, disastrous action. Without spiritual knowledge, our endeavors will finally be disastrous. We'll cause pain for ourselves and pain for others. Even with good intentions, even with, you know, thinking that we're doing something right. Finally, we cause pain to ourselves and pain to others. We didn't want to, perhaps. Maybe we did, maybe we didn't. But that's what comes. You know, I wanted to do science because I thought it would be, you know, I would help people and da-da-da-da-da. And finally, you get up to economic reality and then you're building tanks. Mr. Buddhist. You know, this is the covering potency of Maya. We're building something to kill people, and we think we're making the world a safer place. And there's a logic there, somehow or other, by which the mind says, yeah, right. And it all somehow makes sense, even though it doesn't. This is Maya. Prabhupada gave the example in his school that the children would be punished. The two kids would get into some sort of mischief together. The one has to hold the earlobes of the other, and the first has to hold the earlobes of the opposite person. And at the signal from the teacher, they both have to pull as hard as they can. That's what we're doing in the material world. Others are the cause of misery to us, and we're the cause of misery to them. Adibhotic misery is. Adiatmic misery is. Adibhotic misery. Adidaitic misery is. Chanting Hare Krishna is beneficial. No side effects. Doesn't use up your, you know, doesn't spend money, doesn't use up half the money in the state to do it. And it brings the best results. Okay. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.